This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Matt Miller is on the line, and he has now been able to digest a whiz-bang college football showcase, man. You talked about going in, the wide receivers, QB1, QB2. You are now a more educated observer. What did you see in that game from a scout's perspective?
Oh, my gosh, guys. Like I told you last week, 28 players from my 2020 big board in one game. It's unreal. And it lived up to all the hype. It really did. I was happy because I've been such a big Joe Burrow guy really throughout this entire season. Even, you know, back over the summer, had a lot of like for him, you know, and it just seemed like, man, if he takes the next step, this would be a dude that – it's going to be really, really good. So it's great to see that. I think it makes it more fun when we have guys like Joe Burrow kind of come out of nowhere a little bit. And we can say, okay, like, man, look at the improvements this dude has made now that he's in a pro-style offense. Now that he's working with receivers like Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. And you got Randy Moss's son at tight end. It's such a fun offense to watch. So it lives up to the hype. I think some of the big risers, like if you want to play that game of like, oh, stock watch, it's actually – some of the under-the-radar guys. It's Devonta Smith from Alabama, who outshined Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy. It's, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire at running back. It's Najee Harris. It was, you know, more of the guys who were – it wasn't – you know, Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa had great games, but this game was won by kind of the second- and third-tier type players. So that's what makes it fun, because I've seen every throw Tua's made in college. I've seen every throw Joe Burrow has made in college. It's nice to be able to say, okay, like – let's check out these two running backs, or let's look at, you know, some of the safety play that's not Grant Delpit, or, you know, the corner play that's not Christian Fulton. So it was a good game to get a look at some of those guys that could be third, fourth round picks.
What mattered to you about Alabama's comeback as it relates to Tua's ability and his health and Bama's worthiness of playing for something big later on?
Yeah, I think it's tough because with Tua, it always feels like in a loss, it's like, God, he's just, if he were healthy, this might be different. And I thought he played really well, and no one should have a bad thing to say about Tua, like at all. You know, like after that game, he played exceptionally well in a game where I actually thought his offensive line, that was the worst game that I've seen them play with him at quarterback. I really felt like Alex Leatherwood just did not do a good job at left tackle. So I think you can look at Tua's stat line. You can look at some of the throws he made, you know, whether it was that the throw that Jeudy dropped in the end zone in the second quarter was enormous, you know, and he did bounce right back and catch one. But there were some throws that Tua made where you're still like, just damn, like this guy's really good at throwing the ball. Like strip it all away and just watch him throw the ball and you're going to be blown away by what he does. And I think, you know, the comeback, the poise to go in, what, down 20 at halftime and to be able to come back and rally back. I mean, it speaks to the Alabama coaching staff as well, but I think one thing that I've always loved about Tua going back to his freshman season was it never feels too big for him. And in that way, he reminds me a lot of Deshaun Watson, where it might not always be like scripted and it might not always be pretty, but like the dude's going to find a way to keep you in games or win games. And I think that's one of my favorite qualities that he has as a quarterback.
We haven't talked about Najee Harris very much, but he has some swerve to him. He has some suddenness and some swerve. Where is he falling on your board right now?
You know, round two is where, and that's a little bit of a bump up for him. It honestly is. Like, I liked him as like kind of a power runner, but like you said, he's got a little more juice than you expect. He catches the ball really well. That back shoulder fade that he caught for the touchdown was like, okay, like, haven't seen that from you before. So it's kind of exciting to see a guy who's, you know, 220 pounds and 6'2 making plays like that. So I think, you know, with Najee, like we've known who he was since high school. This is a five-star recruit. I mean, depending on which recruiting service you subscribe to, but it's like the name was always there, but it, you know, he was always like stuck behind guys, you know, and last year it was even like, well, Josh Jacobs was there. Josh was so good and so versatile that
he is good this year too, man. That's your rookie of the year,
he's good
right?
This year too. But you know, like Najee is, and I know like this might be poking the, the Bear in the Bears fans, but he's a lot like David Montgomery, where like it just feels like he gets a chance, that he's going to make plays, and in a game where they needed him, you know, to run the ball, to catch the ball, he was doing a little bit of everything. And David Montgomery did that when I was at the Iowa State game last year, watching him play against Matty Campbell's defense. And it's like, he just kind of takes over games. And I think that's one of my favorite things about Najee right now.
Is there any doubt in your mind that one of those two quarterbacks playing in the LSU-Bama game goes one to the Bengals and is the other guy the next guy?
Dude, we're talking about the Bengals. Anything could happen, right? Like, I mean, like, really? Anything could happen. They could take Justin Herbert. You know, I mean, they really could. Like, I don't think anything's out of the realm of possibility when you talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, it should be one of those guys. I really do think that. And I think there's still a lot of questions about who's going to be, you know, is Zach Taylor going to be back? If they go 0-16, can you really bring back a guy that everyone in the NFL was telling you wasn't ready to be a head coach? What do you do with that situation? I think it should be. Like, Joe Burrow is from Athens, Ohio. You know, he's like, just outside of Cincinnati, you know, and like that story of, you know, bring him back, you know, the Mr. Ohio would be awesome. And I think there's a lot of love for Joe in Ohio. So that would be cool. As a Joe Burrow fan, I do not want him to go to the Bengals because they will ruin him. And then I'm going to look bad in 3 years when I'm on your radio show and you guys are like, hey, you said Joe Burrow was going to be good. And I'm going to have to say, well, it's the Bengals and they ruin everything they touch. So I hope and pray that, you know, like, I want the Bengals to draft Chase Young because I think he might be unbreakable unless, you know, you're Maryland and you rat the guy out for, you know, getting a loan or whatever it ends up being. So, but I like Chase Young is impervious to the disaster that is NFL football in Ohio. So that's my hope. But, yeah, it should be a quarterback unless Ryan Finley, you know, in the next six games somehow magically becomes the quarterback that he actually wasn't in college and ends up good, which – rarely happens, but I guess it could.
A lot of names being thrown around as available possible veteran quarterback competition for the Bears. If, in fact, this next year is going to be a year where Mitch Trubisky is going to have to earn it against somebody and some of these names that we've heard. Before we get into the Colin Kaepernick stuff, obviously that's the elephant in the room right now, but whether it's Andy Dalton, Marcus Mariota, Teddy Bridgewater, we just heard Cam Newton's name thrown out.
Ryan Tannehill,
another one. Does any of these float your boat?
Yeah, they all do. I mean, I think it's like it's within context, you know. For that reason, some of them do. And I think, like, you know, Bears fans, I had this argument with some people on Twitter yesterday, like, but the salary cap. Like, I don't care about the salary cap because it's flexible. You can cut some guys that haven't been playing well, and you can make room for anyone, you know. So I think with Cam Newton, I'm really interested in Cam Newton, and it sounds like there's mutual interest if he's healthy. And I think, like, that's the thing I keep saying to, you know, even like my buddies who are scouts and stuff. It's like, if he's healthy, and I don't know if he is, and I don't know if anyone knows if he is right now. So it's a little bit of an unknown. I'm interested in Andy Dalton. I would be interested in Ryan Tannehill is playing really well for Tennessee. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to watch what they've done the last 3 weeks, but he's been good. And so I think with that, it's like, Bears fans almost have to have like a little bit of a reality check and say, what are we trying to do here? We have, when everyone's together, we have one of the best defenses in football. We have a coach that was, you know, coach of the year in his first year. We have a GM who's been executive of the year. Like, we've got some dudes. We just missed a quarterback. And so it's almost like you're looking at like the Jaguars. That 1 year, you know, they went to the AFC Championship game. They looked so good. And it's like, okay, well, we got everything but the quarterback, and they didn't handle it right. And so I think with the Bears, you're kind of in that similar spot of, we got really close, and we got a really good defense, and we got a running back, and we got a receiver, but we don't have the quarterback. So you're not going to get Aaron Rodgers. You're not going to get Drew Brees or Tom Brady, you know, with them being free agents this year. So you have to manage expectations. And, okay, could a healthy Cam Newton get us into the playoffs? I think he could. Could Andy Dalton, with a couple more weapons, and the offensive line's got to be retooled no matter who's the quarterback next year. But could Andy Dalton get you to the playoffs? I think he could. And so it's just like you almost have to look at it that way. And you're not going to get, you know, you're not going to get Patrick Mahomes type quarterback with one of your second round picks. So you have to be a little bit realistic.
If you're going to Atlanta to watch Colin Kaepernick's workout, assuming it happens and that people are there to watch it, all that kind of stuff, what's on your checklist? What do you need to see from him? What are you looking for? And how would you begin to evaluate him?
Man, this is tough. It really is. I'm actually going to write about that a little bit for tomorrow morning's scouting notebook because it almost feels like he's being set up to fail. And I hate that. You know, And I'm a Niners fan, you guys know, because we talk every week. Mm-hmm. I was not a Kaepernick fan when he was our quarterback. You know, it was like, I actually think he's not that good. But then you hate to see, you know, what's happened over the last couple of years with him not getting a chance. So it is difficult because I don't even know who he's going to be throwing to. I don't even know if he knows who he's going to be throwing to. So I would love to say, like, oh, I want to see him throw the ball. You know, I haven't physically seen this guy do anything in 2 years and 8 months. So what does he look like? What is he weighing in at? You know, there's been rumors that he lost a ton of weight. Just what does he look like? How does he look moving and throwing the ball? Is he, like, in some type of NFL shape? Because essentially, if Ryan Pace asked me to go down there and watch Colin on Saturday, like, you're looking at a 6 to 7 week audition for next year, basically. You know, an inexpensive quarterback that you're going to kick the tires on and see where he's at for next year. So I think those are the big questions that are more so, what does he look like physically? How does the arm look? You know, he's not like a young guy anymore. Even with quarterbacks playing until they're in their 40s now, you know, you lose 3 years. And then the fact that, you know, what is he, 32 years old now, yeah, I think. Mm-hmm. So, like, I would worry about that a little bit. How does he look moving around? Because that was a huge part of his game, you know, with Greg Roman as offensive coordinator, with Jim Harbaugh. They moved him around a lot. At 32, I mean, you're going to start to lose some of that, even if you haven't taken a hit since you were 29. So I think just want to see the athleticism. I know a lot of people are going to want to ask the question, like, what are you going to do during the national anthem? I really don't care, personally. I think that goes into the politics of your team and your owner, and you have to comply with that. You know, if your owner says, hey, we're not signing a dude that's going to kneel, like Jerry Jones has said, then, okay, that's a part of the equation. But I think, you know, that really hasn't been an issue around the NFL since Kaepernick has kind of been forced out. So I don't know that goes into it.
So let's get the nuts and bolts of it real quick here. What exactly do you watch? Do you want to see, when you say, is it still there, do you want to watch him in simulated pressure climbing the pocket? Do you want to watch, I mean, obviously how the ball's coming out of his hand and the accuracy of the throws, but do you want to see like an actual time in a three-cone drill? Like what would serve you if you could fill out a form and say, these are the results that I want, the data that I need to make a decision?
I would have liked to have given him 3 or 4 weeks to prepare for it and say, we want to see a route tree. I want to see you throw 10 quick slants. I want to see you throw 10 go routes. I want to see you throw 20-yard comebacks and 20-yard outs and, you know, a dig. And like, I want to see you throw 10 of all of these routes that I haven't seen you throw in the last 3 years. Like, and on the roll, you know, roll right, roll left. Let's see if you're still loose, if you're still as athletic as you were, you know, because it's like his arm strength's not going to be gone, and that was always one of the best things about his game. So I'm not going to ask him around 40 or a three cone. I think that's a waste of time. You just want to see him move around in the pocket. You know, I mean, we don't need George Whitfield out there with broomsticks chasing this guy around or anything, but I think I just want to see him make the throws that he's going to be asked to throw. But I think this whole thing is a farce, guys. It's just like a PR stunt, and hopefully a team signs him, and we'll at least get him, you know, on a team so we can see for the next 6 or 7 weeks if there's anything there or not, because that's the only way you're going to really be able to evaluate him, not in a 20-minute workout in Atlanta on a Saturday. Like, it's almost impossible to do without anything, you know, game-related to back it up.
Matt, thank you. We'll talk next week.
Appreciate you guys.
That's Matt Miller.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.